Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, September 9th, 2014. You're in for a real treat. For on today's edition of Mark and Friends, you're going to hear from Hattie Kaufman, as I had about a 25-minute conversation with her last week. And she'll be coming to our area this weekend. So listen to this interview, or you can stop by greatnewsradio.org and check out our events calendar link. After praying up the program, here's how it began. Well, Hattie, I've been looking forward to this interview. Thank you, God. I had 7 hours extra at the airport so I could read your book, Falling Into Place, A Memoir of Overcoming. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, when they were saying, hey, we're going to be loading the plane finally after the second delay, I was like, oh, no, I still got a few more chapters to go. But this is one of these interviews I'm excited to share with the radio listeners. I thoroughly enjoyed your book. It's an account of your memoir of overcoming. It's a story of heartbreak to triumph, of despair to finding peace, of hopelessness to redemptive content. And so with that said, Hattie, you're a fan of mine. I think you're a remarkable woman. I'm so glad you're coming to our area to bless people with your story. And I just thoroughly enjoyed this book and will highly recommend it for our listeners. But what inspired you to share your story with the world, and what do you hope your readers will take away from this book, Falling Into Place, A Memoir of Overcoming?
Oh, thank you, Mark, for that great warm welcome. I hope that readers will take away what it took me a long time to get. I was 52 before I found a safe place, and that is, you know, in the arms of the Lord. I mean, it took me a long time, and I had every reason to not want to go there, not believe in that. I mean, I was a network news correspondent. I mean, we report the news. We don't report opinion, supposedly. Mm-hmm. You hardly know that by today's media. You know, God isn't so welcome in the newsroom around America. Okay, so that, number one. Number two, I'm American Indian. And I grew up as a young person coming of age during the Indian power kind of radical AIM days. And I, of course, would reject Christianity as the white man's religion. And so I had all kinds of reasons not to accept the comfort that I finally found. And once I did, I could not tell my story. I had to share this. And it made me share some of the things from my childhood, which were very, very embarrassing because I grew up poor with alcoholic parents. The kind of stories that I hid as a young woman working in the media, it's not something you tell. And yet suddenly I was free to tell the truth about my life, and I did. And the result is the book that you were reading while you were waiting for your plane.
Yeah, it was a glorious read. In fact, I found myself captivated. In fact, in the unique way you even wrote it, with what was happening in the present circumstance, and then thinking back, and then you weaved in some stories from your childhood. What encouraged you to write in this unique way?
Well, the story begins. It's not a chronological thing. It's not like an autobiography. I was born, you know, that kind of story. Instead, it starts midlife in my 50s when it feels like the life that I built so carefully and so successfully. I've become a network news correspondent. I have a team of producers. I live in Brentwood, California, and wealthy, working on television, all that. And it all came crashing down one day when my 17-year-old marriage just crumbled underneath, just shocked me. My husband said, I'm not committed to you. I've never been committed to you. I just settled for you. These are like these words that were just astonishing to me. Okay, that's the way the book starts. And because I feel so disjointed, as if the ground were not stable under my feet, it shakes me, and it makes me remember, you know, when I was a little kid, and of course the ground was not stable under my feet because I was living in havoc, you know, in a home with parents who were drinking and disappearing. And so there's a thread there that goes back and forth from my coming to terms with this end of a marriage, and then eventually my coming to terms with the fact that I had, as a child, rejected any belief in anybody who could help me out. And there really is somebody who I eventually meet.
And one of those people that were like God with skin on was Aunt Teddy, who introduced you not only to that Bible that you started researching and looking at, Isaiah 54, but she was a godly example in your formative years, wasn't she?
Oh, incredibly so. I mean, you have to realize, picture, if you can, seven kids living in the housing projects. parents gone or showing up drunk or showing up alone or with a boyfriend or with people who just came home from the bar and there's fighting and there's drinking and we're just scared kids. And then they're gone and we're alone for a day and a night and a day and a night and a day and a night. It stretches on. Well, in this kind of chaotic childhood, there was one picture of stability, and she really did shine like a light, and that is or was my Aunt Teddy. In addition to being somebody that we could turn to for, mothering kind of comfort, she also was a light in other ways. She taught me the 23rd Psalm when I was 7 years old. I didn't know what it meant, but she would say, "Hattie, repeat after me," and I would repeat the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it would be decades later, again, when I'm mid-50, and suddenly her words come back to me and provide the comfort. And by then she was long gone. But I think it shows that these seeds that we sow are not sown in vain. It may take decades. But I have heard since my book came out from grandmothers who say, "Thank you. You know, I don't know whether my little grandkids are going to get this, but thank you for your witness that it does bear fruit and can bear fruit."
One of the things I read in your book, and I'll quote it here, "Reality for the Kaufman kids is mostly defined by lack of rescue, absent providers, and negligent protection. Looking out for ourselves, we became adept at resourcefulness." And that was so heartbreaking. I mean, you paint so many of the pictures of going into the refrigerator and there's nothing there but a jar, and there's just like a, not even a spoonful, just like something that you could put your finger on just to have a morsel of, and, you know, wrestling with, am I self-centered? Should I take this and eat it because I got to provide for myself, or do I help my little baby sister? And just that anguish you had to go through as a child looking out for yourself.
Yeah, and part of that anguish, you know, you do have to take that little speck of jam and put it in your own mouth. And then the next thing is I feel guilt. And so at the very young age of 4 years old, it was almost like there was a big thumb that put a thumbprint on my forehead of guilt and shame for my own greed of just trying to get this little food into my mouth. Yeah, we had hungry times. I mean, I was sent to the school nurse because my ribs were sticking out so much. And yet, you know, this was prior to AFDC, or perhaps my parents didn't know anything about it, or, you know, I actually think I became a news reporter, and I think that if you found seven kids living on their own in a city with the lights shut off and the gas heat shut off and the water shut off, and somehow they are managing to survive, that would be a news story. And here I was, a news anchor in the same town where I had lived, and I realized we were an untold news story. So it's decades later, but I'm telling the story now.
Well, I'm so glad you have, and I'm so glad you're coming to the area. I'll mention this again at the end of the broadcast, but for our Great News Radio listeners, so they can plan now, this Thursday, the Native American House on the U of I campus from noon to 1:30, you can come and visit Hattie. I'm sure you'll be bringing a number of your books along with you, or you've already shipped them ahead so we can buy multiple copies when you're here.
Oh, certainly. And Barnes & Noble in Bloomington is going to have a book sale, and I'll be there to sign copies on Saturday afternoon.
Friday evening, you'll be at the Champaign Public Library from 7 to 8:30. You'll speak and answer questions, so I'm looking forward to that. Yes, Saturday afternoon, as you mentioned, at Barnes & Noble Bookstore in Bloomington from 4 to 6 p.m. Then Sunday, you're going to be presenting and sharing at the Meadowbrook Church in Champaign. So those of you that don't have a church home, or maybe you'll go to your service early and head over to the Meadowbrook Church, you can see Hattie there. And then Sunday afternoon, our good friends over at Curtis Orchard are hosting a book signing from 1 to 3 p.m. So you're going to be busy when you come to our area.
I am, and I hope I get to see some of the great news radio family in one of these stops around town. But it really is wonderful. I feel so embraced by the community, and I thank you.
Well, it's a great bunch, and your story of overcoming was an inspiration to me. Like I said, I didn't want to leave the airport yet. I wanted to go home, too, and see my family. But this is a wonderful book. It's called Falling Into Place, and it's published by Baker Books. In fact, you can even call Baker Books and order your copies now, or certainly see Hattie in person and have her maybe sign off on one. But a phone number to call is 1-800-877-2665. That's 1-800-877-2665. But better yet, come out and purchase them in person with Hattie. That way she doesn't have to lug them around or ship them back, and you can get her to visit with you. Your book, Falling Into Place, I appreciate your faith journey, too, that's shared throughout, and you kind of imply, or it's threaded throughout the whole story, that God was pursuing you through unique situations or people, and one was that crazy woman that you thought, how does she believe in God? What's she doing selling these products made by women in Africa? And then she has the gall, if you will, to say, women all over the world will be praying for you, Hattie. Tell us a little of that story.
This is really amazing. I mean, it was the day after I have the divorce news, and so I am totally a wreck. And yet, this is part of that resilience that came out of childhood, is that we never stop and we will, you know, keep showing up for work. We are, you know, self-made humans. And so I go on to my assignment the very next day, despite the fact that I've been crying all night, my eyes are all puffy. And so my assignment as a network news correspondent that day was to interview this woman who was selling products made in Africa. I was working for CBS, and it was part of an assignment on successful home businesses. So I just think I'm going to interview somebody who's got a successful business out of her garage selling these products. But she shocks me by looking deeply into my eyes and saying she started her business because God woke her up one day and told her she needs to help women in Africa. And I'm just looking at her like she is some kind of a nut. Mm-hmm. Here I have driven all the way out here to do a story, and you're going to tell me about God? But I nod my head, and I write down whatever it is she's saying, and I'm sort of try to ignore that and go on to the next question, maybe about prophets or something. And she says, I could not ignore God. And it was like she was talking right into my heart. And I just continue with the interview, kind of think she's a nut, and I just want to get out of there. And as we're walking out to say goodbye, she just puts me in her arms and says, women all over the world will be praying for you. Astonishingly, you know, as my story progresses, as you know, Mark, from having read it, that eventually I do find my way. Eventually, all of these denials and self-defenses fall away, and I am saved. Now imagine that, and I'm telling you this, Mark, this is actually not in my book, but this very year I happened to be at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., and I attended this event for women from around the world, an international gathering of women who are in one room, and spontaneously we all held hands, and they had asked me to tell some of my story, and I did, and they said, let's pray for Hattie. So here we have it. This woman's words came true. Women from around the world were praying for me. Isn't that incredible?
Well, you're going to get an incredible uptick, if you will, because our Great News Radio listening family is such a dedicated group of prayer warriors, and I know as you go and represent the Lord Jesus Christ and God's kingdom throughout the world, literally, you'll have a groundswell of prayer coming from East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana. I'm just so pleased to have you on and knowing that you're coming to our area. Today's guest on Mark and Friends is Hattie Kaufman. She's the recent author of Falling Into Place, a memoir of overcoming. You're an Emmy Award-winning Native American news correspondent, and I'm so pleased that you finally felt led to share some of your story, because you've been in the public eye for many years and very successful in your career, and yet you just felt either led of God or just felt led to write this memoir, and I think it's going to be such a blessing, because I'm sure there's a listener right now, Hattie, that's tuned in that says, but you don't understand my story. My upbringing was such. I was hurt. I was violated. I've been battered. I'm angry at God. I was not treated properly as a child. What would you say to somebody who's maybe going through that kind of struggle, or maybe they're in the midst of a divorce, or they're living with an alcoholic, or, you know, many of the things that you've experienced or walked through?
Yes. Well, I guess I would say that try prayer. Even if you think, I'm not a Christian, this doesn't work for me, just try prayer. The tentative little opening of the door leads to such a sense of warmth and care and comfort, because God is there, even when it seems that He isn't, even when it seems that you are alone, God is there. I, at the beginning, you know, thought it was crazy, and yet I found something that suddenly all of these things, all of these pains and scars of childhood fell away. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that big thumbprint of shame. That was gone instantly. So my message is give it a try. Just try prayer. Just baby step. Open the door a tad.
And I know you found comfort in God's word, especially in that passage out of Isaiah chapter 54. Maybe talk a little about that, because there's something about God's word, reading it and recognizing that it's his, in a sense, love letter to each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was going through this terrible divorce, and I was living in West L.A., where, you know, divorce is just... almost everybody seems to have gone through a divorce. And I was getting a lot of bad advice from a lot of the women that I knew, who, for instance, go shopping, spend a lot of money, go to a spa, have an affair before you reconcile. I mean, I was hearing things like that. But out of all of that chatter, one person called me, one friend, who said, Hattie, do you happen to have a Bible? And I thought I could find one. And she said, well, find one. And then look up Isaiah 54. That's all she said. And I found one. And I looked up Isaiah 54. And I'm reading along. And at first it's just words, and then about maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 sentences in, it says, to the forsaken woman, let God be your husband. Mm. And it was as if those words flew out of the page up to my eyes and just right to me. It felt like, as if the book were talking to me. So that was the start, and I read that over and over again through the first weeks of, you know, going through this time. And then I thought, I want to read all of Isaiah. And then after that, I want to read the Psalms. And it just, it started, and I began to turn to the Bible and find, in any time when I was feeling, I don't know, anxious as you're walking through the divorce, I would find something that would comfort me. I'd find something that seemed to speak right to those very circumstances of that day. So this was my gradual awakening that maybe God is real.
And he continues to reveal himself through people, through his word, through circumstances. And we're so glad you're coming to our area so you can speak truth into our hearts and help us overcome some of the struggles or the heartaches or the disappointments in life, because they're going to come, aren't they?
Oh, sure. Mm. Yeah. And even after you are saved, it doesn't mean that life isn't still life. It still is. But I think that we have something now. We have this great, great comfort. And we know that this is temporary. Whatever we're going through is temporary.
Yeah, we can draw on God's strength. Yeah, I have a familiar saying that just because you come to Christ or are following God doesn't mean your bank book starts magically balancing each and every month. You know?
No, you still have to watch your budget.
Yeah, in fact, sometimes things get a little harder, but I think it's God's way of having us leaning into him, relying on him, and not in our own accomplishments or abilities. And it seems like your sisters and brothers, even in light of such harsh and hard upbringing, have become very successful and are productive citizens in various realms where they're influencing society.
Yes, and that it really, you look at these 7 kids making it on their own. And I mentioned earlier the resiliency. You know, my sister Joanne figured out how to heat water in the electric coffee maker when our hot water heater was turned off because the gas was shut off, and so but we still had electricity, and she would heat the water in there, then she'd carry it upstairs and pour it in the bathtub and then go back down and fill it up again. And it took forever to get a tub full of water so we could bathe. But it was that sort of resourcefulness that we all carried with us out of this childhood, and I think it actually really did help us. All 7 kids managed to make it out there in various careers. My youngest sister, who's referred to as Baby in the book, became the very first Native American woman elected to the Washington State Senate. The oldest, John, who used to entertain us by having us sing and dance, he became an actor and a director. He's my late brother. He is no longer with us. But all of us did something in childhood that seemed to help us in our adulthood. I mean, as a little kid, my nickname was How Come, which I think is perfect for somebody who grows up to become a reporter. When we're asking who, what, why, where, you know, all of that is How Come, basically.
Well, Hattie, you're coming to our area, and I'll reference that in just a moment, but thank you for carving out time. And because of our...
Oh, Mark, thank you for having me. It's been so great to be on the air with you.
Well, and because our Great News Radio listeners are such prayer warriors, how can we pray for you in the days ahead, especially being in the public eye and sharing your book with many people and being invited to speak and share?
I think I would ask a prayer for travel mercies. Just being out here, I know... And I have encountered many times where it feels like there's like obstacles or, you know, like just lots of little things happen. And I'm thinking, how could this possibly happen? How did I lose the key to the rental car, for instance? Or, you know, like one thing or another as I'm traveling along with my book. So I would ask for prayer for a straight road, that crooked paths become straight. And I thank you so much for having me. I thank the Great News Radio family for praying.
Well, thank you again, Hattie, and I look forward to seeing you this coming week.
Thank you, Mark. Look forward to seeing you soon.
That's how my conversation, as recorded last week with Hattie Kaufman, ended. But wait, there's more. I kept her on the line. We shared some personal stories and talked for a few more minutes. Here's a portion of that conversation. Anyway,
wow,
so
wonderful. Thank you for sharing that story with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, two things. I had found that with God. When you finally surrender whatever, the dream, the destination, the desire, okay, Lord, kind of what Jesus did, not my will, your will. He kind of waits for that point, and then he says, see, now I've been wanting and waiting to give you this gift, but you had to surrender it first to me. And so, and then the other thing, I was going to say this on the air, but don't be surprised. I've probably proclaimed this many times over the many years, but whenever you advance God's kingdom, and so if you imagine your hand and you're pushing forward kingdom purposes or plans, or maybe you're going to volunteer at a soup kitchen, or you've written this book to encourage people, or you're proclaiming your relationship with God, or you're advancing kingdom purposes, there's always a pushback to thwart, to derail, to frustrate. And so your key's missing, illnesses in the family, heartache with children, pressures of life, work schedules that are overly demanding than usual. Those always seem to press against you when you're advancing kingdom work. It's a phenomenon that I see all the time. So you just kind of have to say, Lord, you know, these keys or the situation, or I'm just overly taxed. Take over, help me, fill me up, because in my strength I can't cope with this. Those are kind of to be expected. Whenever I do a trip to Israel, every single time, you know, printers, suddenly they block up. It's like, how did we lose all that data? Where's our mailing list?
You know? Right. So when I lost the keys, I was down to Palm Desert, and I was to do a signing at a Barnes & Noble there, and I was to be on television on their local TV station.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there, the night before, so that I'll be fresh for the TV interview the next day. And I walk out the door, and I wait, where's the key? And I go back, and I had only walked from here to there, and it just vanished. I tore the room up. Anyway, I end up taking a cab to the TV thing, arrive harried, and the lady comes out to meet me in the green room, and she says, okay, are you all set for the way this is going to go? And I said, well, sure. I mean, I assume he's going to interview me about my book. And she goes, book? What book? You're not here to take the check? And she thought I was somebody from a nonprofit that the TV show was handing a check to that day on the air. And I said, no, I'm Hattie Kaufman. I'm here. Her face panicked, and she grabbed my hand and said, shh. And she, you know, we ran to her desk, and she pulled up her computer, and she said, you're not whatever that person's name was on her screen. And it had the show rundown, you know, the commercial break, et cetera. And she was in a panic because she had told the anchor, I'm about to go on in like 10 minutes, and she told the anchor that it was this other person. And she was running through, what could possibly have gone wrong? And I said, excuse me, your screen says Thursday, today's Wednesday. And she was working on the wrong day of the show. And she had prepped the anchor. And so the fact that I lost my key, the wrong day is on the computer. She doesn't want to tell the anchor that she made this terrible mistake, but then she goes up and she has to. And so now they're clipping a microphone on me, and I'm sitting down, and he goes, what's your name again? And I said, Hattie Kaufman. I was a correspondent for CBS News. And his face suddenly recognizes me, because, of course, he would have seen all my stories.
Yeah.
And he goes, what's your book about? And it was like, stand by, and we're on the air. So he had no prep. But, you know, it was just one of those crazy things. And so, yes, I appreciate your comment about every time you push the kingdom forward, you're going to have a push back from the enemy, because I really felt like sometimes somebody is going right in front of me with a chainsaw cutting trees that are falling down in my path. Because it'll be obstacle, 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 obstacle. So I really thank you, Mark, for letting me ask the audience for prayer, and for your words just now, that they are very comforting to me.
Yeah, well.
You know, that this is normal. Because I'm, you know, still new at this. I don't really know what's normal, but I thank you.
Well, you'll be prayed up, and we'll look forward to seeing you in person when you come.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, Hattie's coming to town this weekend. You can find out about her five different stops at greatnewsradio.org under our events calendar page. You can purchase copies of her book, Falling Into Place, A Memoir of Overcoming, through Baker Books by calling 1-800-877-2665. That's 1-800-877-2665. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.